send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free. Have you got game? Got game on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet590.ca.
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Coming up this week, more Minecraft is on the way. Telltale is going to make a story-based game about the mega-popular franchise. Kim Kardashian did it. Now Lindsay Lohan is joining the party. Plus, we take an in-depth look at the future of virtual reality technology.
Have you got game?
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Christine Chubb, Brian Calhoun, Momin Qureshi around the table with you. Back for another week at Got Game 590 on Twitter is where you can find us.
The penultimate week.
Second last show of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to do our big year in review show next week. So tune in. We're going to give you our highs, our lows, favorites, things that we were disappointed by, and wrap up 2014 that was. Maybe take a peek at 2015, depending on how much time we have. Lots of good things to look forward to next year. But first, we have to do this week's show. So let's do that. Now, if you have played that golf game called the Golf Club.
It's a golf game, yes.
Yeah, there are some updates coming to it that should be ready for you by Christmas. There's some new content, some new golf courses.
Yeah, it's one of those weird situations where the game has been put out with promises of more content to come later. And at this point, they are talking about, hey, we're going to have a whole campaign mode coming down the line. But in the interim, how about we just put in a handicap system? They'll handicap the courses for you and let you know what exactly your handicap is and how you rank up against the course itself. Also, there's going to be a couple of other courses that they're going to be throwing in there, which I know sounds weird, but they've made a couple of courses based on real actual courses. They're not like huge golf courses. They're well known, but they're not the biggest of golf courses out there.
All right. So I want to say a couple of months ago on our show, I think it was while I was away in Europe. So that was like September.
I feel like this has been more than a couple of months. This has been an ever expanding campaign of silliness for the past year and a half.
Oh, no. Well, what I was going to say is a couple of months ago, we talked about Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
Right? That was like September or something. But we talked about her app and her game and how it made her a bazillion dollars.
What a waste of money.
It made her so much money.
It made her so much money and so many people played it and society died. A little or a lot that day. But who is she to do it by herself? So who's getting into the game, Christine?
Miss Lilo.
Yeah, Lilo herself. Lindsay Lohan.
You mean of Grand Theft Auto 5?
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. Yeah, she is. Let's not forget that she is suing Take-Two and Rockstar Games right now for the Grand Theft Auto 5 debacle, which is such a joke.
Which they have pictures of the model that they used in that case.
Yep.
Yet she's still suing them, or at least attempting to sue them.
She's trying. But she has a free-to-play iOS and Android game that is out to become a famous celebrity just like me, which is what Lohan wrote on her website.
Just like her.
Just like her. And Christine, you thought, what the heck?
Why not?
Why not download the game and play it?
I had to check it out because I always thought the whole Lilo and Grand Theft Auto thing was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, she's a has-been. In no way would anybody lower their standards in a game by adding somebody who reminded them of her.
Would you say it was bunk?
It was bunk.
Total bunk.
Even hooey. I would say hooey.
Wow.
So I decided to download this terrible game.
Children.
I love that you started your review off like that. That's so funny.
And the funny thing about it is that obviously the image that Lilo says is her in Grand Theft Auto is, you know, this beautiful blonde woman. So the picture of her on her game is totally not like that. It's kind of Mean Girls Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, redhead.
It's redhead. She's wearing a gray suit. I'm like, how can you look at that and then look at the woman from Grand Theft Auto and think, oh, yeah. That's totally the same.
To be fair, the depiction that we're looking at in the game, you're holding up your tablet and you're showing Brian and I right now,
Looks
nothing like Lindsay Lohan.
No.
It doesn't look like her at all.
It's a two-dimensional cartoon drawing that could be anybody. It could be me.
It could be, yeah. It could literally be absolutely any redhead.
The hair's a little wrong, but I mean,
yeah, it's pretty close.
The hair's a little long, but it could be fine. The funny thing about this game, too, is that when you start it up, it starts off with, you know, poetically a quote by the ever-quoted and highly respected
Kim Kardashian?
Julia Roberts?
Really?
Like, I don't know. It starts off with this weird quote about and the price of fame and Julia Roberts. And I was like, I get the redhead thing, but
maybe redheads, they stick together.
Yeah, I'm sure Julia Roberts is really on Lilo's side. So, okay, let's get down to the brass tacks of this game.
Does Julia Roberts know that she's quoted in this game?
I'm going to guess no, and I hope she sues her and wins.
Can you sue someone over?
No, probably not.
Yeah, I was
or else
say.
The meme industry would be gone. Well, especially because it's a free game. So it's not like you're making any money off of this.
Is it free or is it a free-to-play game driven by microtransactions?
Mm. There are no microtransactions in this game.
Is it ad-supported?
There is a connect to your friends for Facebook, which is, I'm assuming, is where they're going to make any money, is through advertising stuff through Facebook. But
okay.
The extent of what you do in this game is you swipe up. That is it. That is all the skill that you need to have in this
game.
Well,
to be honest, that's not something we should hold against this game, considering the extent of Angry Birds and Flappy Birds and Desert Golfing, like very famous iOS games, but all basically have one little motion control where you swipe your finger across the screen.
That's true, but that at least is doing something. All you do when you swipe up is apparently you gather fans. And that's it. So, like, you swipe up and the image of the fan, which stems from, like, it goes from a dog with a bone to a weird, nerdy Urkel type looking to a Supreme Court judge as, here's Lindsay Lohan fans. I'm like, I would agree maybe the dog is a fan of hers. But I'm going to guess the Supreme Court justice, not so much. So that's what it is. You swipe up and you gain
fans.
Maybe he
just really liked the Parent Trap.
It's a she. And then you use these fans to do things called investments, which means that you can earn fans without swiping, which means that the game just kind of now plays itself, which is what I basically have it on now. The game will count down and I don't have to do anything. And so that's it. Like, it's so... It doesn't. There's no really rewards out of it. You can kind of change an outfit, like you become a character to create your own celebrity. But it's really like super basic. It reminds me of like a cutout doll system. My character's name is called Suck It Lohan, so that's what I decided to name my girl.
Is this like the Kardashian family where you have like the lesser known Lohans?
She is. Yeah, she
that is the best
Lohan.
Name for a character in the history of video games.
She's the Lohan that got away. And so far, she has 3.8 billion fans.
3.8 billion with a B?
I started playing last night, and already I have 3.8. But it's funny.
Already, you are more famous than Lindsay Lohan herself, considering the
Earth's
population.
That's more famous than anybody will ever be. Nobody will ever be. 3.8 billion fans?
I know how many people are in the world. Trust
me. That's the thing about this.
That's half the global population.
You can get up to not only million billion fans. Yes, that's the term.
Please tell me there's another.
Billion billion fans. So you can have a billion billion. I'm
so
like,
people in the outer reaches of the galaxy and the universe are fans.
That's what I'm actually hoping
Marvin
happens.
The Martian, really big Lindsay Lohan fan.
Oh, I do not like this the at universal all. Celebrity. It's so, like, this game is just so silly.
You become the universal star?
It, like Lindsay Lohan, is pointless.
Okay,
like, this game.
I just want to make clear. Kim Kardashian has done relatively nothing to earn her fame, right?
Yeah.
Lilo did make some good movies early in her career.
Mm-hmm.
Parent Trap.
That's why the Supreme
mean
Court
Girls,
Justice likes her.
Freaky Friday. She had it once. I hope she gets it back because she was actually making good movies. But do you think this is going to make her the zillions of dollars that it made Kardashian?
No, this is a free game. Already I have 4 billion fans that are rolling in.
No, Brian. Christine's about to get too big for us. She has 4 billion fans.
There's really, like, it's pointless. She's There's no point to this game. Now. There's really no reward system at the end. Like, you just keep getting these bajillion, kajillion fans.
The weird thing about the Kim Kardashian game, and I don't know this firsthand, these are secondhand stories I've heard, is that there's actually like a commentary on fame. Some sort of subtle commentary was happening in that game on fame and glamour and stuff like that. Mm. At some point, there was a point to play. Even if your drive was short, apparently there was a small drive to play it. Mm-hmm. It does not appear that the same can be said for... What's the title of this game again?
It's called Lindsay Lohan Something to Stardom, or I can't remember. Exactly. It's the goal of it is to be uber successful. And it's funny because in the publicity investments, which you can buy, there are things like create a phony rap beef, have a wardrobe malfunction, sell photos of your baby.
It's called The Price of Fame, the game.
You buy these?
Yeah, you use your fan base to buy these things. So basically the fan base is like a monetary system.
You're selling people?
You sell your fans. Yeah. You do. You sell your fans to create a fake charity. Like, who could think that's a great thing? Let's create a fake charity.
Oh, lovely. All right. Well, while Christine continues to play her Lilo game.
It's terrible. It's so terrible. I just want to take this off my tablet right this very second.
Okay. Well, while we talk about that, let's move on to something else. You're listening to Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Let's talk about something good. Telltale is making a Minecraft game, and it's going to be like a story-based Minecraft game, which I think I like the idea that Telltale is the one that's going to make this happen. I think that's pretty cool.
Well, make this happen is kind of a odd term, considering there's already a whole bunch of fiction. You can go to a store and buy stories based on Minecraft. I was looking at some earlier today where it's like, okay, well, here's the story of the Diamond Sword. I'm sitting there going, I've never read this book. I wonder what the story is. Does it just say dig, dig, dig for 3 hours and then you find enough diamond and then it says smelt?
But this, the release says the game will focus on an original story that is driven by player choice, which is pretty much every Telltale
game. Yeah, that's the Telltale game.
That's like the... That's the thing with every Telltale game. But the reason I bring this story up, which I think is great, I think Telltale makes great games. We've been talking about Wolf Among Us and Walking Dead and
Game of Thrones.
And it's pretty impressive that they're able to make these games. These games where you would not think there's a story at all to tell.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For example, the Borderlands game that just came out. Sure, the Game of Thrones game is a very easy one. That story's pretty much written for you. But first, the Borderlands, and now Minecraft. These are games that they're action-focused games.
Right.
They're like player interaction-focused games. They're not story-based games.
Even when they did Back to the Future, which had like a story that wasn't from the actual movie. They just kind of a side story, which was great. But the reason I bring this up is because it leads to my other favorite story of the week, which is related to Minecraft, and that is the creator of Minecraft just put down a lot of money to buy a house in Beverly Hills. He paid $70 million
That's too much.
For a mega mansion in Beverly Hills. And I'm going to read a quote off of The Verge, what they wrote about this site, about this mansion. It comes outfitted with a candy room, a car showroom, a vodka and tequila bar, a 54-foot curved glass door that opens onto a pool, 8 bedrooms, 15 bathrooms, apartment-sized closets, a movie theater, and even listing what it called an overwhelming sensory experience. That's what's in this mega mansion in Beverly Hills.
But we have this room. We don't know what it's called.
But some stuff goes down in there. It's pretty interesting.
What are apartment-sized closets? Like an actual apartment? Like a closet the size of an apartment?
Well, I mean, if it's 18 rooms, you could just make your own apartment.
And since when do bedrooms, bathrooms heavily outnumber bedrooms by that? It's like a ratio of 2 to 1 there.
I'm sure some of them are half.
But my favorite part of this story is there was one other couple that was bidding for this house, and they got outbid, and that couple was Jay-Z and Beyonce. The guy who owns Minecraft threw down more money than Jay-Z and Beyonce on this place. He's like, no. And I'm hoping that he stood there and made it rain with the money. Just because it's like, yeah, I got the money for this. What are you going to do? You can sell all the albums you want and make the movies you want. I made a video game. He's just standing there making it rain.
Let's not forget,
Microsoft paid $2.5 billion for Minecraft. So this guy's got money more than he knows to do.
Even before then, I mean, first he made the game, which was extremely popular before Microsoft ever bought it. I mean, more people were playing it than anything else I can think of. Maybe Dota 2 was the game that might rival it.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about one of the most successful franchises ever. And then, you know, merchandising, books, keychains,
candy,
masks.
There's a movie in the works.
They made pretty much anything that they could put the Minecraft
very
name
on. Very reminiscent of what Angry Birds did.
Yes, exactly.
Same sort of mantra. They just churned it out there. But good on you, buddy. Anytime you can come in and throw down more money than Jay-Z and Beyonce on a house that they want, that's pretty amazing.
Here's the thing. When I think of shrewd business people, I do not think of Notch, the guy who made Minecraft. Definitely you think of Jay-Z and Beyonce. I mean, they throughout their careers have demonstrated how smart they are,
absolutely,
you know, in terms of business decisions. So they're not going to overpay for a house. If some internet guy who made a video game is going to come here and say, well,
yeah, that's true,
I'm going to outbid you, then they're like, sure, fine, we'll wait for the next mansion.
Yeah, and it's very true. It doesn't mean, I mean, he does have more money than them, but that's true. Maybe he just way overpaid and Jay-Z was like, no.
No. This sensory experience room, no, it's not worth the extra $1 million. No.
Yeah, Jay-Z just did the math. He's like, that's how many albums? No, I can't do it. I can't make it work. But it just made me chuckle when I read that. That was the sort of the kicker of the story, so it made me laugh. But coming up next, we're going to find out about the future of VR. Brian did some very interesting interviews, and we're going to play some of that tape coming up next on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Game.
Welcome back to Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Momin Qureshi is here. Christine Chubb is here. I'm also here. My name is Brian Calhoun. And normally, Momin would do the intros coming back and spend about half an hour explaining all the places you can email us at. But we don't have that kind of time because, well, we want to fit in a lot of virtual reality talk. I recently had a chance to go down to Get Immersed. It was a 3D convention, and they did let me walk around their showcase floor, an open space where they're showing off all their technology, and they let me try a lot of it. So throughout the next segment, and possibly a little bit more, We're going to go over the future of technology in terms of virtual reality. So I guess that makes the question of the day, what is the future of virtual reality, augmented reality, and all sorts of other 3D technology? Here's the kicker. Nobody knows yet, but I can tell you what they're working on at this moment. Now, when most people think about virtual reality, video games certainly come to the front of mind. I know that a lot of realtors are using virtual reality to make tours of houses and other building complexes that they're trying to sell. There are a lot of real-world business applications for virtual reality, but few ever really think about social interactions with VR technology, except for maybe a small little company called Facebook. Yep, you might have heard of them. They have this website. It's called Facebook. One of the huge trends in virtual reality right now is trying to create a social experience with VR goggles, with the Oculus Rift, the headset that Facebook bought and the one that they're trying to produce right now, or the Samsung Gear, or a bunch of other different headsets that we really haven't been able to focus on right now because, let's face it, Oculus Rift and Samsung, those are the two big ones in the market at the moment. But social experiences with VR, that is a huge thing. Very few people are talking about, but I was luckily able to track someone down at the Get Immersed conference who is in fact working on this. His name is Jeff Landy, and he's the founder of Lucky VR. The point of his company is to try and create social experiences inside a game that Facebook can probably play or somehow use with their Oculus VR, and you'll be sitting in a virtual casino with your friends. But Jeff was kind enough to talk to me about VR and social interactions and how they're going to come together to create entertainment in the future. Here is Jeff Landy of Lucky VR.
Facebook bought Oculus, and the reason for them buying it was that they're not going to put your newsfeed into your Oculus Rift. They want you to have social experiences in VR and feel like you're really there with other people, which is what we're trying to aim to do with social casino gaming.
Motion controls, if you will, is also going to be another big part of this. And that's a tricky thing to try and get into right now, especially considering Microsoft put a lot of money into motion controls and, like, very quickly in the last little while has pulled out. Do you think that that's the future?
Getting your hands and body tracking into VR is a very important piece of the puzzle that hasn't been solved yet. Microsoft tried to do it with a Kinect, didn't resonate with the consumers, but there are a number of companies that are working very hard to get the motion, hand tracking, and body tracking down, and that's really a key piece to having social interaction in VR is the body tracking and hand motion and reading that on other people to really have an immersive experience.
What is the social experience going to be like when I say 10 years from now, it's almost nothing to have a computer that would be powerful enough to do this? VR goggles is very, very common. You know, it's a Thursday night. I don't want to go out, but all my friends, they want to do something. Let's all jump onto the VR technology and have a social experience together. So I put on my goggles. What would happen? What are you guys going to offer us?
Right, yeah. So looking kind of 10 years out, it gets very exciting on what you'll be able to do in terms of social VR. If you guys want to visit any environment in anywhere in the world, you want to see a movie together, you guys want to visit the Great Wall of China, that will all be possible in a 5 to 10 year time frame, that you'll be able to go and explore places with your friends in real time. It's going to be amazing. Going to the casino with friends and playing games together in a kind of a real casino environment is what we're focused on. It's what we do best. People love going to the casino together right now in Las Vegas or Macau. So we're trying to bring that real life exciting experience to VR and let you experience that excitement of going to the casino together with friends all from your home computer.
But also, as I'm sitting here, there's a camera watching me, and I'm doing inputs.
Correct.
So what are those inputs, and can you describe that?
Right. So the inputs that we have today, we have head tracking with the camera, so it will be able to track your head in 3D space. We have hand tracking solutions like the Leap Motion or STEM system, which try and track the movements of your hands and fingers and lets you interact with the world in a kind of meaningful way.
Can you give us an example?
Right, so for our casino game, for example, we have a gesture recognition system. So if you're at a casino making a hitting or standing gesture with your hand, you can do the same using the Leap Motion Tracker, and our computer animated dealer will recognize those hand motions you're making and act accordingly.
That was Jeff Landy, the founder of Lucky VR. And as you said, Facebook is definitely taking a huge interest in VR technology for its possible social applications, but they're not the only people working on VR headsets. Samsung, for example, is working on their own little headset where basically you buy a cell phone and stick it into the headset and you have VR technology wherever you want to go. I know Google is also working on a similar thing, although I'm not entirely sure how their VR headset's going to work considering they're trying to make it out of cardboard. But believe it or not, cell phone VR technologies already come to the market. For example, this man right here.
My name is Manuel Gutierrez Novello, and I'm the CEO and president of Immersion Brelia.
We'll sell you a VR headset that will work with a number of cell phones for less than $100. How does it work? Well, let's find out more from him.
It looks like you guys are trying to make sort of a VR headset that will work with a cell phone, but is it any cell phone? Like, what do I need in order to get your equipment going?
Pretty much every cell phone works. What we have designed is a platform. It's a very simple platform, but it works for phones that go from 4 inches to 6 inches diagonal screen. And in that case, what we're doing is we're leveraging the whole installed base of cell phones out there in the market to turn their cell phones into a virtual reality headset. The way we achieve that is by promoting the use of our SDK and the Alter Space, which are two concepts that we are promoting to the developers. So the SDK allows the developers to integrate their applications to be compatible with our system. And the good thing about this is that we will actually measure the performance of each one of the cell phones. And based on the performance, the system adapts the polygons and the resolution and some of the other characteristics of the game. So the experience is always smooth and it's always the same for the user, independently if they have a G3, a G4, Note 3, Note 4, LG G3, or if they have an iPhone 6 or 6 Plus. It doesn't matter what platform they have, we can accommodate them all. All you need is to, you know, use our SDK and launch the application, that's all.
Now, Economics 101 says sell many units cheaply or few units at a higher price. And I was just wondering, are you guys looking to enter the markets in sort of a fashion where the masses will definitely be picking it up, or are you going to look for those early adapters who are willing to put in all that money that, you know, your average person would not?
Right. Well, what we want to do is we want to have massive adoption of the technology. And it's interesting. We got into an agreement with an exclusive distributor, Tiger Direct. So you can actually purchase the device right now for only $89. And therefore, it's a very very low price. And it's accessible for many of the people out there in the world. They can get it. They can use it immediately, whatever the cell phone they have. So we want to make it, you know, something that is viable for most of the people. That's our approach with this version. It's called the Go, the Immersion Brelia Go. And this version, as I said, it's a low cost. We have many products. We have like 6 different products, including a platform called the Alter Space. Among all the other products, we have head-mounted displays that are for professional-grade experiences. We have some that are used for augmented reality and virtual reality simultaneously. We even have a version that recognizes gestures and augmented reality information to overlap CG on top of real life. So depending on the application that you're looking for, we have a solution. There's a big spectrum of applications out there. With our products, we're covering them, pretty much all of them, from the entry level with the Mobile Go version all the way to the Blue Sky version, which is a ruggedized out-of-home experience, ruggedized entertainment system with 2K per eye. So we have the full range. Right now, what you can get in Tiger Direct is only the Go. And the Alter Space comes for everything, for every platform, for every phone, for every user that you have out there, independently if it's user of our head-mounted displays or not. They have access to the Alter Space. The Alter Space is an environment where you can find videos, you can socialize, you can work, you can interact, you can play games, you can have applications for virtual reality and augmented reality. And it's all within the same environment, the Alter Space.
That was
Manuel Gutierrez Novello, and I'm the CEO and president of Immersion Brelia.
And what makes him unique in the market right now is that he is one of the few people out there with an actual piece of VR technology that you can buy. Yes, the Samsung Galaxy headset is also available. It's also been launched, but it's very expensive if you want to go that way. On the other hand, Manuel's technology will cost you roughly $100 for the headset. Overall, the package will cost more because you have to get a very good cell phone, and the better cell phone you have, obviously the better working conditions you'll experience, but no one said that VR was going to be a cheap technology, and let's face it, you get what you pay for in the end. Now, one of the things that Manuel talked about, but we did not have a chance to really get into, is the fact that another trend in virtual reality is not augmented reality in a sense, but creating a virtual space where you can interact with your phone, with your tablet, with whatever device you're using,
through a set of 3D goggles and using hand motions or some sort of tool, if you will, to navigate the menus of your cell phone and go for your photos or your calendar, stuff like that. And this brought me to a Toronto-based company called Cordon Media and their new product, Pinch. P-I-N-C is how they are spelling it. But this was about the time I was talking to Milan Balak, the founder of Cordon Media, talking about his new product, Pinch, which right now, if you Google it, is being crowdfunded.
What am I looking at? I see what appears to be two little controllers that wrap around fingers, yep, like little rings. I see a 3D goggle set that will go over your phone. But other than that, what's Pinch?
So Pinch is actually a full virtual reality platform. And when you're talking about kind of inspirations of the future and all these sorts of things, absolutely. We feel that today there's been more and more of a kind of a focus on mobile, building mobile kind of small form factor applications, which is awesome. But I think people now that are seeing that phones can do more and more every day, every new generation, every new iPhone that comes out, I think people are expecting more and more from their personal devices and from their smartphones. What we wanted to do was actually give the hardware that's already in your pocket kind of an unlimited canvas. So this ability to kind of interact in a completely immersive environment. So that's really what Pinch is designed for. It's something that we kind of thought of could be applicable to everyday computing. So imagine now stepping inside your phone and being able to kind of swim through your applications in full 3D reality or virtual reality. Browsing through a VR browser, going through a photo gallery, kind of creating content, typing in a virtual keyboard, looking at your Facebook post, obviously gaming. All these different types of applications could be expanded on exponentially once you introduce the third dimension. And what we're really talking about here is the whole concept of spatial computing, which to me, from my childhood, came from movies like Johnny Mnemonic, if you've ever seen that movie. This whole idea of the computer world almost being a separate other world that you can manipulate and change with your hands. So Pinch is actually based on a modular design. What we wanted to do was address kind of several issues that we saw in kind of the VR space. If you kind of look around and see all the different folks that are kind of supplying all these different types of headsets, they're all designed as kind of dedicated devices, right? So they're all kind of designed for a single purpose that need essentially an external device, like a computer or like a phone that you need to slip into it. What we wanted to do was actually look at the whole mobile VR concept and actually take it to the nth degree. If you really want mobile VR, it has to fit into your pocket. So what we designed is actually, a modular case that allows you to use your phone in a standard way, but also kind of swivels and allows you to kind of jump into VR from wherever you are. Obviously, right now what I'm showing you is a rough prototype that we've been working on over the last several months. A lot of improvements in terms of comfort, a lot of improvements in terms of kind of form factor. It's currently about 19 millimeters thick, which is about the thickness of 2.5 phones stacked one on top of the other. But again, working with various manufacturing processes to get it even lower, even thinner. At the same time, what we've integrated is control, which we thought was really lacking in VR. Obviously, a lot of folks are attempting to solve that problem. But by integrating pinchers, which are essentially magnetic rings, and again, these are prototypes that I'm showing you right now. They're going to be a lot thinner. It's really designed around the concept of utilizing the rear-facing camera to pick up the movement of your hand to interact with applications. So when you combine those two things, I think you really open up a whole new world of possibility in a very small form factor and at the same time a very low-cost device. This entire device will be under $100 and it will be sold, in the cases aisle where you buy your cases, things like the Mophie case or any other case that you would buy for your iPhone 6. You'll be able to find this device in the very same location.
We're running out of time for this segment, but stick around for more Got Game after this commercial break when we talk to other people working on different types of 3D technology. Would anybody like a television that works like the 3D on your 3DS? Because that's going to be a thing. And more coming up next on Got Game. This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. We've got game. Do you? Gameplay.
You're back listening to Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Omen Qureshi. Brian Calhoun and Christine Chubb are with me talking about video games for the second last time this year. Our year in review show will be next week where we'll pick our favorites and not so favorites. So be sure to tune in to the Sportsnet Radio Network next week where we'll wrap up the video game year that was 2014. Now we're going to continue back off of what we did last segment and talk a little bit about some tech stuff. Brian, you did some stuff where you talk about the future of VR here in this interview.
Yes.
It's not very long, but we thought we'd
say a couple minutes. A series of interviews we played last segment where basically we don't know what the future of VR is, but here are what people are working on right now.
Excellent. So you spoke to Tom Curtin of Dimension Technologies to talk about making a 3D TV using that technology that's available on the Nintendo 3DS, which means no glasses necessary.
You guys are doing what the 3DS does, but you're doing it on a much bigger scale. And by that, I mean the no glasses 3D.
That's correct. We produce glasses-free 3D that has the same depth of field as glasses-based 3D, but you don't have to wear glasses. You can see full realistic, full resolution, no loss of brightness. It's a very high-end depth of field 3D developed for NASA and then fine-tuned for gamers.
But why would NASA require 3D?
Well, NASA believes that 3D will give the pilot and co-pilot up in a cockpit greater situational awareness. So when they're faced with a situation where they have to make a decision in real time, they have the best information possible. And there's been studies done at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in the United States that shows that 3D visualization of data and 3D stereo imagery of live capture, like camera capture, again, creates better situational awareness and can actually help people make better decisions in moments of crisis.
Now, I remember back, 2 years ago, Sony put out a small television. Theirs required 3D goggles, but it gave the ability for two gamers to be able to see two different images at once. And perhaps this is too much to ask, but would that be possible with what you guys are working on?
We are going to support two viewers, and they can be playing the same game, but they'll be seeing the same basic image. We won't be serving up two separate images. I recall the Sony, you could actually watch TV while someone was playing a game, but there they're dividing pixels, and so they're really compromising resolution and brightness, I believe, in order to deliver that kind of experience. Our Kickstarter is live, and you can find us at kickstarter.com, profile DTI3D.
So that's Tom Curtin from Dimension Technologies talking about making a 3D TV that does not require you to wear 3D glasses to watch it. Now, we did get a listener email over the week, and it was somebody, Chris, who was asking, he's thinking of buying a new PS4 or an Xbox console. He currently has a PS3. The only games he plays are sports games, and he wants to know what he should get.
This is probably the most common question we get, and we don't always answer it on air, but we figured, why don't we do it again just before the holidays?
And to me, it comes down to one simple factor.
Where are your friends?
No, that's not my answer. He says he plays sports games. So my question is, if you're a baseball fan and baseball is one of your favorite games to play, then it's PS4 cold easy because they have MLB The Show. That's it. Otherwise, NHL is on both systems. PES is on both systems. FIFA's on both systems.
Madden.
Madden's on both. NBA 2K is on both. So really, if what you play primarily are sports games, it's a toss-up. But if you play baseball and you're a big baseball guy and you play, then MLB The Show is the best game out there for sports. For baseball.
What if he hates baseball?
Then I think you go to your answer.
Yeah, where are your friends?
Yeah.
Because this gentleman said he has a PlayStation 3.
Right.
So chances are he's playing with people on his PlayStation 3.
Right.
And other than that, I mean, there are a few differences between the two consoles. I mean, the motion control stuff on the Xbox One is far better than the camera that Sony put out. But on my Sony console, I can capture up to 15 minutes of game footage and put on the internet very easily. I mean, these are very...
Yeah, well, you can stream your stuff on Twitch if you're into that.
Yeah,
you can also stream on the PlayStation 4. There's a bunch of small differences, but other than that, these two consoles are very similar.
Yep.
What were your friends there?
Yep, I would say the same thing. And like I said, I just think because he mentioned that he just mostly plays sports games, the only games I play are sports games. I think it comes down to whether you play baseball or not. If you play baseball, you've already had to play PS3. The smartest thing for you to do is move on to a PS4 because MLB The Show is by far and away the best baseball game out there.
I would say too, if you're happy with your PS3, why would you really consider going to the Xbox? Why would you not consider just going to the next version of the console that you've had for years and that you've really liked?
Yep.
You're used to the button placements, you're used to, and it has the new controller, which is a vast improvement.
Night and day, that PlayStation 3 controller was part of the reason why I thought that the Xbox 360 was the far better console in the last generation.
And that's part of the reason why...
Who enjoyed that PlayStation 3 controller? I like that controller.
And that's part of the reason why Xbox didn't really change their controller, because their whole concept was people love it. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. So they made some small improvements to it. The one thing I would say is that if we're basing this off of specific genres, Then in terms of racing games, the crop coming out on the Xbox One over this past year is far better. Sony has Drive Club, which...
Forza was really good, both the 5 and Horizon was really good.
There's yet to be a Gran Turismo out on Sony right now for the new consoles because they are hoping Drive Club would be that sort of clone, if you will, the Gran Turismo clone. The Crew is, it's okay, but I mean, The Crew you can get on either console.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There you go, Chris. I hope we helped you solve things out. And if you do ever venture into playing other games aside from sports games, then you would have to look at the exclusives that are out for each system. But if you only play sports games, then I think we pretty much helped you answer your questions. You are listening to Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Moment, Brian, Christine with you. Last week, we announced we were giving away a copy of Assassin's Creed Unity on our Twitter page.
Yep.
We sent out a tweet, people retweeted it, and we picked a winner from among those retweets. So congratulations to Chris Contois. I hope I pronounced your last name right. It's spelled C-O-N-T-O-I-S. So I hope, Chris, I pronounced it right. And if I'm wrong and you're offended, how about a copy of Assassin's Creed Unity for the Xbox One to make you feel better?
Yeah.
Exactly. We'll get in touch with you. Congratulations, buddy. I hope you enjoy the game, and I hope we just made your Christmas season a little happier. Not that we can get this to you by Christmas, I doubt it, but your new year will start off well.
We're helping Chris's around the world because the Chris that won the copy of Assassin's Creed is not the Chris that wrote us in the email. So
yeah, exactly. So this is, if your name is Chris, hopefully we're helping you out, Christine.
No, you only cause me burden and shame.
That's true. Mm. Well, job well done then.
Yeah, there you go. Fair enough.
All right. Congratulations, Chris. Now let's move on, Brian. We have about 5 minutes left in this show. Destiny.
Oh, God. What will I do with the other 4 minutes?
Yes. Destiny, one of the most hyped up games of this year.
Yes.
One of the most played games this year. Some people have it on their Game of the Year list. I don't know if you do. We're going to find out during our year-end special next week.
Spoilers.
But we got some new Destiny.
Yeah, you got a little bit of new Destiny. A tiny little bit of new Destiny. That's always been the weird thing about Destiny. It's a great game to play in terms of mechanics and the way that they set up the missions inside the games, the activities that you do. It's decent enough. I mean, this is made by Bungie, the guys who made Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Here is a group of people that know how to make a first-person shooter set in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a first-person shooter set in the future and did a pretty decent job. But the complaint against Destiny has always been the lack of content. It is a very quick burn. You can go through this game very quickly, and you're supposed to, and then the end game content is basically you playing the same missions over and over and over again in order to upgrade your gear, because you can upgrade your... There's a billion things in this game in terms of currency and progress and stuff like that. It's extremely confusing to try and keep it all straight.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing the game off and on since it came out, and I really can't tell you everything that you need and where you can use and stuff like that. I mean, not only do you have currency you're supposed to collect by doing activities, you have currency that you're given for completing weekly events, and then you have currency that you find based on just like roaming around and searching the areas of the game spaces. Then you have currency that I don't even know where you get it from yet. There's currency I don't have that at some point I'll have to use in the future, I'm guessing. So yeah, so this is a very confusing game that despite all these strange choices, people have decided that it's pretty decent, continue playing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the very first piece of DLC for the game. It's called The Dark Below. And I thought a lot of people would think that The Dark Below would be the cure for Destiny's lack of content, especially considering they're charging $20 for it. You can get it cheaper if you bought one of the season passes at the beginning of the year, but...
$20 is pretty pricey for DLC, though.
Yeah, $20 is pretty pricey for DLC, and I feel like this DLC continues the trend where you only get 3 main missions and one more sort of...
Really?
It's not a strike, it's called a raid, which is a mission that, for the first couple of times, will take you a couple hours to complete. And if you have the PlayStation 4 version, you also get a bonus strike. But that's all the content that you get. And then you realize, oh, wait, so I finished the actual 3 missions, and I finished like one of the big strikes, and the game is slowly giving me quests to do. Like just short little quests. Go and kill this many of this thing, and now go collect this many of that thing. So there is a bit of hidden content, a bit of content they didn't really discuss. But once again, it comes down to you are going through the exact same areas. I mean, in terms of locations, the majority of this DLC happens on Earth, which is the starting area of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, up until now, you kind of played on Earth for the very beginning, and then you go...
And then you went away.
Yeah, you went to the other areas, and considering those were the higher level areas, you would go there to grind, which is a video game term to mean play the same stuff over and over and over again to collect all these resources. So they're taking you back to Earth for the most part, but I don't know. I was running around these new missions, and thinking, oh, wait, here is this one part from this other mission that I did a bunch of times. And this is this location that you pass through during this other mission that I did a bunch of times. Nothing about the DLC really felt new, except for maybe one or two little set pieces inside the game. And I'll be honest, like the missions themselves, the three missions I told you about that are in this game, the first one's kind of blah, mm-hmm. but the second and third one end with set pieces that are actually some of the most memorable stuff in the game.
Really?
So it's good content, as you expect, but it still has the same problem of not being a lot of content.
Did it give you any more bits into the storyline? Because that's what drove me crazy about Destiny, is that it just kind of fell flat for me.
You will get a little bit in terms of who more people are mm-hmm. and how they are interconnected.
Okay.
But at the same time, don't expect this to explain everything
yeah.
about Destiny. This is not how they are going to be setting up Destiny. I don't even really understand how they are going to be setting up Destiny going forward or what anything else will be going forward. I'm just saying that if you want to play a bit more Destiny, this is it to a T, including is not a lot of content. You'll be going over the same areas over and over and over again and going back to old lands that you already know of to complete these quests.
So worth it, not worth it?
I'm going to say probably not worth it for, and only for, the $20 price tag.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If it was $10.
That's a big factor, man. That's an extra $10 on top.
Yeah. $20 is a huge factor.
Big factor.
If it was $10, wait for a sale. Wait for a $10. I'm sure they'll have one in a couple of months where they'll say, hey, we're going to sell this DLC for $10. Then sure, go get it. But the price is a little bit too much for what you get.
Interesting. All right. So next week, year in review show. Make sure you turn in. We're going to talk about the best and worst of the year that was in video games of 2014. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at GotGame590. Check Sportsnet590.ca for the blog, iTunes, and the TuneIn app for the podcast. But that's all the time we have for this week. So for Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb, I'm Omen Qureshi. This has been Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.